If you are a Christian who owns or manages a small business, even if you're just making a few extra bucks on the side, this is for you. Hi, I'm Rob West. They say small business is the backbone of the American economy. Today, we'll look at what's changing for small businesses, and more important, what doesn't change when you're following Christ. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, the past few years haven't been easy for small businesses in the U.S. The COVID-19 pandemic threw the supply chain, the workforce, and the economy into chaos, forcing many small companies to close their doors and sending workers home by the millions. But small business owners are nothing if not resourceful, and many of you have pivoted into new realities with determination and creativity. Of course, as Christians in business, we are called to a higher standard. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." The benefit of tying your business standards to eternal values is that those values don't change with the whims of culture or economic trends. The end result for Christian employers and employees is blessing, which is a faithful witness to everyone. As Jesus told his disciples in John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So let's take a few moments here to outline a few of the basic biblical principles that should guide your professional actions and attitudes in the managing of a small business. The first principle is fundamental, and once you get this one, the rest makes much more sense. I'm talking about stewardship. In a nutshell, stewardship is what happens when you understand that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, as it says in Psalm 24. So as business owners and managers, we submit our work, our resources, and our profits to the Lord, because He is really the boss. We can have a kingdom perspective on everything from hiring to inventory to profits and losses. As managers, we turn to Christ, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, trusting that He will provide what we need to take care of all of the business details. That includes taking care of our families. Ultimately, success or failure in the business becomes God's problem, while we do our best letting Him take care of the rest. In the post-pandemic business environment, workplace norms have really shifted. Many workers who left the office to work at home have stayed there. Lots of small businesses are dealing with hybrid workforces that have different sets of expectations. This is where eternal biblical principles can keep you moving in the right direction. Because once you have God's authority over your business figured out, you can focus on the horizontal relationships, how you interact with your employees, customers, suppliers, contractors, and even your competitors. Most importantly, treat everyone with integrity. Deuteronomy 16:19 says, "You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe." What does that look like in a business context? Well, pay fair wages, show your concern for employees' well-being, and treat your customers, contractors, and yes, your competitors fairly. According to smallbiztrends.com, workplace expectations have changed in recent years, especially along generational lines. In general, millennials want positive workplace culture and flexible schedules, and Gen Z workers value fun even more than money. Maintaining biblical values in your company can help meet the felt needs of every employee. One way to maintain a healthy company culture is to set an example. As a business owner who belongs to Christ, you have an opportunity to demonstrate godly character to those around you. You can do that by pursuing righteous business practices. Here's how. Be honest, communicate clearly, keep your promises, and pursue excellence. As the late Larry Burkett once said, "There's nothing more honoring to God than quality service or a quality product from a professing Christian." Proverbs 22:29 confirms this. It reads, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings." You see, as the business owner or manager, you're in a unique position to have an impact on your community through your generosity and compassion. And I pray that you use your professional resources and influence to further Christ's kingdom right where you live and work. I hope that's an encouragement. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What is this all for, really? Why do Christians care so much about following Jesus? Why do we spend so much time praying and talking to others about Christ, reading our Bibles, singing, and going to church? What is it all for, anyways? So often, I have been asked that question, and if I'm honest, many times I've found myself asking that question. Why am I doing this? Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1 ground me. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Why do we do it? This is where a pure heart comes from. Christ centers us on himself, and our faith follows. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. Let's dive into what you're thinking about at 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open right now at 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'll be turning to your phone calls here momentarily. First, this out from the news feed today, and it's actually slightly disturbing. 4 out of 10 workers are not contributing anything to their 401k or employer-sponsored plan, according to a new CNBC survey of about 2,700 workers. Only 1 in 4 said they're contributing enough to max out their employer's matching contributions. And what a missed opportunity there. I mean, that's free money. If they're going to match you dollar for dollar up to, say, 3%, that's 100% return on your money. You're not going to find that anywhere, of course. So 3 out of 4 people are missing that opportunity. Only 1 out of 10 said they're putting in the maximum employee contribution this year,
And 3 out of 4 said they're feeling financially stressed right now, largely due to inflation, rising interest rates, and not having enough in savings. And of course, that's what's leading to this new record level of credit card debt that we're experiencing in this country, now more than $1 trillion with a T. And so, you know, we've got to be dialing back our spending. I realize it's harder now than ever, and so I don't pretend that that's easy. I mean, if you've been to the grocery store lately, you know how much of a squeeze we're feeling on our budgets now versus a couple of years ago. And if we were living right up to the edge, paycheck to paycheck, without any margin, well, there's nowhere for that money to go. So we've got to be serious about dialing into that spending plan, creating a spending plan if you don't have one, and then creating that margin, because that margin or cushion, that which is left over at the end of the month, is so key to you being able to fund your longer term goals, which should be driven by your values, right? So you start with, who am I in Christ? What is God doing in my life? How can money be a tool to accomplish that? Remember, money is a gift from God. It's a blessing. As long as we use it in the right way, it doesn't become the object of our affection or the things that it can buy. God is our true treasure. He is our abundance, and money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. Well, when we can live within His provision and have some cushion, that allows us then to fund those longer-term goals, like maybe funding that emergency fund for the first time, 3 to 6 months expenses, maybe saving for that down payment on a house, which is harder than ever. Maybe it's starting to contribute to that 401k, beginning to dollar cost average into the your company-sponsored retirement plan, and taking advantage of that free money there that's a part of that match that 3 out of 4 of those surveyed from CNBC said they're not taking advantage of. So we certainly want you to be able to save for the long term in line with what God's plan is for you, and that means you have to seek Him in prayer to figure that out. But a bit of disturbing news today. Don't make this a part of your situation. Let's figure out a way where you can take advantage of that company-sponsored plan. All right, we're going to dive into some phone calls today. We've got two lines open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to a first-time caller, Charles in Ohio. Thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So I don't care much for my company's 401k plan. I do get a 7% match. That's great. So I do that. And I've been, my wife and I, we maxed out our Roth IRAs this year. And I've been taking all excess, whatever we can, and putting it into brokerage accounts. And lately I started thinking, well, you know, how much would a 401k with not great options be possibly better than the brokerage account, because it does affect your adjusted gross income, you know, my taxable income. And I didn't know if that's a case by case or if there's a standard formula where I can learn a little more about that. I was looking at the tax brackets, and if I do the math, you know, if you go down to a lower tax bracket, it really doesn't change a whole lot on your taxes that I can see, but I'm not an accountant.
Yeah, well, there's two factors going on here, though, that I think, you know, we need to consider as you think about this. You're right. When you make a 401k contribution, it lowers the amount of your adjusted gross income, which in turn lowers your tax liability, depending on the bracket that you're in. The other factor is, though, the benefits of the tax-deferred growth. So once that money's in there, yes, you get that current year deduction, but then as you invest, now the taxes, as you have realized gains along the way, you make a change from one fund to the other, you're not paying capital gains taxes as you go. So 100% of that money is continuing to work for you on a tax deferred basis, which, you know, just affects the long-term compounding and gives you added benefit there. So I love the idea of you getting that money into that retirement plan, even if you're not terribly excited about the investment options. Now, as to the investment options, you know, I would just encourage you to take a hard look there. There may be more than you think at face value. Dig into all of those fund options and see what's there. There's probably something that is going to give you what you need in terms of an asset allocation, as well as, you know, has some performance that you can get excited about. You also may want to ask Charles, and this may not be a part of your plan, but many 401ks are adding what's called a brokerage window, which just simply means that you can keep the money in the 401k, but basically invest through the brokerage window into any investments you want, or at least a much larger pool of investments than those, you know, few options in the plan itself. So I would ask about that. The third thing I would say is a lot of 401ks are adding new fund options all the time. And so even though you're not excited about what you see today, that doesn't mean 6 months from now you may not have a few other options that are coming into the plan. So I would say there's a lot of benefit to you getting that money into that plan, getting that current year tax deduction, getting that tax deferred growth, exploring your investment options, looking for the brokerage window, and then recognizing that when you start taking distributions in retirement, your income will likely be lower, as will your bracket. And so I think you'll end up paying less tax all the way around. Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate especially the first point. I think will have the biggest impact, because I was thinking, okay, so if I put it in the 401k when it comes out, it's traditional, so it'll be taxed. And if I put it in the brokerage, when I take it out, it'll be taxed. But I never considered rebalancing, as you were saying, could cause gains on the way and I have to pay taxes on those gains.
Yeah, and I'd rather all that money stay in there and keep compounding for you, you know, as you're continuing to work, so we don't have any drag on those investment results along the way. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, when you put all those pieces together, your 401k perhaps may be a little more attractive than you realized. Hey, we appreciate you being on the program today, Charles. Thanks for your call today. By the way, 10 to 15% is a good target for your contributions out of your income. That does replace, though, you doing some really meaningful planning to determine what will I actually need in retirement? What is my lifestyle going to look like? What might my expenses look like in retirement? And what is an appropriate goal for me to get to so that I've got the income that I need in addition to Social Security and whatever else you might have to be able to cover your bills in that season of life? If you need an advisor to do some of that straight planning, not asset management, but just pure retirement planning, you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio on our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
The LGBT movement isn't new. Since 1968, it's been making its way into the Christian church, and now we're seeing parts of the church starting to affirm the quote-unquote gay Christian lifestyle. How did we get here? In the book Dangerous Affirmation, author M.D. Perkins sheds light on how Christians are being lured away from God's truth and calls us to faithfulness to God's design. You can get the ebook version of Dangerous Affirmation today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference. Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word. And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls today on anything financial. I've got a few lines open, perhaps one for your question. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Wyoming. Hi, Russ. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. How do you determine if it's a good decision to downside your mortgage with higher interest rates? So we have a 300 something thousand mortgage. I think we could honestly sell and get one for 100 and 150, but at 2.5 to 7.5, how do you determine if that's a good decision?
Yeah. Well, a lot of that's going to depend on how many years you have remaining on the current term. Was it a 30-year mortgage, Russ?
It was, and there's still, 25 years, but we're close enough that, you know, retirement, we would pay it off to go into retirement debt-free, but still, gotcha. Still some years to go.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, so since you're in the earlier part of this, it's worth looking at. What you're likely going to find is that you're not going to save a whole lot just because you're going to basically triple that mortgage. You've got a phenomenal interest rate right now at 2.5, and you'd be going up to 7.5. But the key is there's so many moving pieces here. With a $150,000 30-year mortgage at 7.5, nothing down, and obviously, let's just look at that. You'd pay about $80,000 in total interest. With a $300,000 30-year mortgage at 2.5, you're going to pay about $126,000 in interest. But you're also not planning on keeping this, the whole time and paying it off over 25 or 30 years. It sounds like you all may accelerate that payoff once you get to retirement. So I think given all the moving pieces here, what you probably need to do is plug this into a mortgage calculator. There's hundreds of them that are free online. You just need the one that's going to give you the variables you're looking for. And what you would want to do is go ahead and put in your current mortgage and go ahead and anticipate hypothetically when you think that payoff would occur. And then just run this out to say, okay, what would be the total amount of interest we'd pay on this current mortgage based on a payoff of X date, which it sounds like, am I hearing you correctly, that you'd have the funds to go ahead and pay it off at whatever balance it was at when you reach retirement? Is that right?
That's correct. Probably 10 years.
Okay. So you could put that lump sum payoff in at the 10-year mark, and then it would tell you the total interest paid. And then you could run that same calculation again, on that smaller loan, and it would tell you how much, interest would be paid there. Now, what you also have to factor in is that with that smaller loan, you've obviously, don't have the asset. I assume what you're talking about is you'd take the money out of the current home, you'd roll it all into the new one, but you'd buy something smaller, and at that point, you'd have the mortgage essentially cut in half. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So then you'd run that calculation again with a $150,000 loan, starting at day one on a 30-year mortgage with a lump sum payoff at 10 years, but at 7.5%, and you could look at the total interest paid, and then it just becomes a math equation. Now, the non-financial side of that is, you're living in a home that is arguably half the value. And so is it going to meet your needs? And where is it located? And, you know, all of those things. I mean, obviously there's more to it than just the financial side. But from the analysis on the finances specifically, you know, that calculator will give you everything you need to answer that question.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, let me just encourage you before you do this. Let's say the numbers check out and you say, yep, this makes sense. We'd save a bundle over the next 10 years. But again, you may not because of that interest rate change. Make sure you can actually find what you're looking for at the price point you're expecting, just because, as you probably know, you know, real estate is really high right now. It hasn't cooled this year. We've slowed the growth, but it's still growing. And so obviously, hopefully you'll maximize the money coming out of the current property, which would be great, but just make sure that you can actually find what you're looking for, you know, at the price point you need to truly cut that mortgage in half, you know, before you actually list this property. So I think you've got some homework to do, but I like the way you're thinking here, Russ, and I'll certainly be interested to know what you find out. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to save an emergency fund, and I have just bought a new home, a trailer. I'm wondering, do I need to continue to put into the 401k, or should I back off the 401k right now and then go into the pay all my bills off and then go back into the 401k?
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of you having an emergency fund. I also like the idea of you contributing to that 401k. What do you have today in your emergency fund? Are you starting from zero, or do you already have something accrued?
About $2,000.
And what are your monthly expenses?
About $4,000.
Okay, so you got about a half a month currently. Mm-hmm. And then, what percent of your income are you putting in your 401k today?
Well, it's dollar for dollar up to 6%, so right now just 6%.
All right. And when you do that 6%, do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
Yes. I'm going to say about $1,500 left over.
Okay. Yeah, unless you see something on the horizon here, Joseph, and I realize the definition of an emergency fund is, if it's an emergency, you can't see it coming. But as long as you feel like, hey, my income's pretty stable, you know, I don't see anything kind of coming down the pike that I need to be ready for, that's, you know, really going to trip me up and cause me to have to run up a bunch of credit card debt, then I would say, as long as you can take full advantage of that dollar for dollar match up to 6%, I mean, that's free money. And so I'd really hate for you to give that up, given the fact that you've still got $1,500 a month in surplus. So if you could grow that that $2,000 you have today by $1,500 a month, you know, a couple of months from now, you got 1 month's expenses in the bank, and then 3 months later, you got two, and then 3 months after that, you got three, and you're still getting this dollar for dollar match. That feels really good to me. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, I'd hate for you to give up that free 100% return on your money. You're not going to get that anywhere else. But make sure you dial into that spending plan and you really do get that $1,500 a month going into emergency savings. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
You know, Alex, one of my favorite things about Share-a-thon are the listeners' phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
AFR listener stories encourage us and other listeners.
AFR has been a blessing to my husband and I.
Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
I listen to y'all all day. Y'all been a big help.
877-876-8893.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. You know, here on this program, we start with the idea that God owns it all, that He is the creator and owner of everything, and therefore we're stewards or managers of God's resources. And so our goal, well, it's faithfulness, to be found faithful as God's caretaker of His resources for His glory, to be able to enjoy, to provide for our families, to meet the needs of others, to deploy as capital, to create human flourishing in the world. I mean, all of these incredible opportunities we have, so long as money doesn't compete with our affection for the Lord. That's the goal. We want to be hopeful and encouraging, take you back to God's Word, and help you address the practical decisions and choices you're making in your financial life. We've got some lines open today, 800-525-7000. You can give us a call right now. Back to the phones we go to a first-time caller in Texas. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Great. Hey, my question is, I have money in a 401k, and I started investing when I was younger, and I was informed that you would not have to pay taxes on that money when you're 59 and a half, which I found not to be true.
That's right.
I wanted to know, how can I take my current investment in my 401k and roll it over in something else that I wouldn't have to pay such a large tax on, or without paying any taxes?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that is incorrect. What they were referring to, whoever told you that, was at 59 and a half, the early withdrawal penalty goes away. And so whenever you take money out of a traditional IRA or 401k, because you were able to take that tax deduction on the contribution going in, that's pre-tax money that the government, that the IRS is allowing you to continue to grow inside that account. So you didn't pay tax on it. It went in, you invest it. You're not having any taxes along the way. You're not paying capital gains as you buy and sell things inside that account during your working years. But at some point, the government wants their money and they get it on the way out. So as you take that withdrawal, you add it to your taxable income. But the idea is that when you're in retirement, your income is lower, and so you're going to hopefully pay less tax, although we don't know what the tax rates will be at that point. Okay, so that's how they work. Now, in addition to that money being taxable as it comes out, if you take it out prior to age 59 and a half, on top of that, you have a 10% penalty. But once you reach 59 and a half, that 10% penalty goes away. So you got this money in the 401k. It was put in pre-tax. How do you get it out without paying the tax? Well, the only way would be through a charitable contribution. Otherwise, when you pull that money out, you're going to pay tax on it. It's going to be added to your taxable income for the year. What's called a qualified charitable distribution, which is permissible once you reach age 70 and a half, would allow you to make a contribution from your IRA, which would be the recipient of your 401k assets. You could roll it to an IRA once you separate from employment. Once you reach age 70 and a half, you could go straight from your IRA to a 501c3 charity or your church or a ministry, and then that money would not be added to your taxable income. And one approach some folks use with that is if they were going to do their giving to their church or other ministries out of after-tax money, maybe money sitting in a checking or a savings account, they don't make that contribution out of savings or checking. Instead, they make it straight from their IRA. They don't pay tax on the money, and essentially it's replacing the money they were going to give with after-tax dollars. That's one approach to get it out tax-free to your question. But apart from that, there really is no other way.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Is that helpful, Joseph?
That is very helpful. But I did have another question. How do you go about doing that and transferring it into a charitable?
Yeah, it's fairly simple. So again, you've got to be 70 and a half, but once you are, you would just contact whoever is the custodian for the IRA, so Fidelity or Schwab or wherever that is, whoever sends you your statement, and tell them, I would like to do a qualified charitable distribution. It's otherwise known as a QCD. And they'll say, sure, here's the paperwork or here's the form you need to fill out. And you will tell them which charity or nonprofit organization you want that money to go to. Go ahead and alert them that it's coming. And then they'll send the money. It doesn't come to you. It'll go direct to the charity. And then as it comes out, it is not added to your taxable income for the year. So they get the full amount. And you could then, you know, replace money you were going to give or use it as a way to give more. But you'll just want to contact your custodian and let them know what you want to do.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
And you too, Joseph. God bless you, sir. To Chris, another first-time caller, also in Texas. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question relates to U.S. Treasuries. With the increase in interest rates, I'm very interested in investing in U.S. Treasuries to get that high interest rate, good government protection for security. And I'm thinking about moving 30 or 40% of my portfolio into U.S. Treasuries 2 and 5 year to take advantage of this 4 to 4.5 to 4.75 interest rates. Because if that's secure, I'm very happy with the rate of return of 4 to 4.75 for my wife and I in retirement planning. But I realize that if that interest rates are going up, that's going to affect the U.S. budget. The U.S. government's going to be paying out a lot of interest on its debt. And so I'm just wondering, what are the risk factors of default on those U.S. treasuries because of those high rates of interest? It's sort of a catch-22. And so I'd like to get your thoughts on the risks of default by the U.S. government on all these high-paying interest U.S. treasuries.
Yeah, well, it's a great line of thinking you've got going on here, Chris. And in fact, I'm going to ask Jerry Boyer, who's going to stop by in our next segment, this question as well, because I'd love for you to hear his take on it. He's our resident economist and can weigh in far greater detail than I can. But here is what I would say to you. First of all, I love the direction you're going. I think you're exactly right. As long as you stay on the shorter end of the duration, so there's U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, and bills. The bonds are, you know, 20 or 30 years, the notes are 2, 3, 5, 7, or 10 years, and then you've got the bills, you know, which are the shortest term. And so I would be looking at U.S. Treasury notes because, as you're probably seeing, we've got this inverted yield curve going on right now that a lot of folks are talking about, where on the shorter durations, you're actually doing better than the longer term, which is usually an indicator of a recession, which is why one of the primary reasons most economists believe we'll have a recession next year. But I believe it is safe. I think you're right. It's a great investment, and the timing is right, because as those interest rates fall, and they will at some point, the Fed is going to need to stimulate the economy. We may have one or two more rate hikes, but probably sometime next year we would expect these rates to start to fall. As they fall, not only will you be getting, this great fixed rate of interest, but the underlying prices of the bonds will increase as the interest rates fall. And so you'll have the appreciation on the market value of the bond itself as well. And so that's a good thing. Now, as to the viability of it, how sound is the full faith and credit of the United States government? I think it's very sound. I mean, when we look at the size and strength of our economy and the position of the U.S. dollar today, there's nothing on the horizon, the immediate horizon, that would say we've got any risk of default. Now, Jerry will tell you, and we'll ask him about this in the next segment, for the first time in his life, he's saying, I think I can see it out there on the horizon where it's now plausible we could have a debt crisis, but it's pretty far down the road. So I think you're in pretty good shape to go ahead with this investment strategy. We'll be right back.
Liberties have become licensed to sin and hurt others. But Paul jumps on that doctrine with both feet, and he says, love is not like that. Love does not seek its own. Love considers the other person.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Power of Love, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, here on a Friday in the final segment, Jerry Boyer stops by with his market analysis, his economic commentary, and the updates that he brings with corporate engagement. Today, we'll be talking about some proposals Jerry's working on for the upcoming Apple shareholder meeting. We'll also talk about China here in a moment in its real estate sector. But Jerry, we just had a caller from Texas, Chris, who I want to get your take on his question. You know, he says, listen, I'm about to move 30% of my portfolio into government U.S. Treasury bonds or Treasury notes. I like the 4.3%. I think these will do well as interest rates fall. The problem I'm reconciling is as interest rates fall, or given the high interest rates, the government is going to have a real problem just paying its bills given the size of the interest payments that they're going to be facing in the future. And so how sound is this backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government? I know you and I have talked about that a good bit, but I thought you might just be able to weigh in on that for Chris.
Yeah, well, the government can always pay the interest on the debt because it can create money to pay the interest on the debt. So I don't think the danger in the context of the United States, or really for the most part, almost any nation state, is that they'll default It's that they'll pay the money, but the money won't be worth anything. That's kind of the risk here. It seems very, very unlikely that the government would default on the debt, except in some kind of gamesmanship over debt ceilings. And when in situations like that, then it's a kind of a very, like, you miss the payment, but, you know, you pay it like a week later, and it's not really thought of as a default, even though it's technically a default. So the risk is more that, you know, just the decline in the value of the dollars you get back. That's one of the reasons why this is like a little bit of a complicated topic for people, but there are treasuries, there's regular treasuries, and then there's a kind of treasury that pays you extra for the inflation. And those are called TIPS. So that's something maybe to talk to your financial advisor about. I assume that this, is it Chris? This question, if Chris has a financial advisor, you know, ask about inflation hedges like TIPS to go along with your regular treasuries. So I really don't see it as likely that the federal government will default on that debt. It would be just disastrous for the United States entirely. Instead, we're more likely to see what we've already seen. We saw in the 70s, and we've seen it more recently, which is the central bank creates money and lends it to the government so the government can pay its interest, but it's paying interest with dollars that aren't worth as much. So I feel like the real world threat is loss of purchasing power, not actually a default.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So for somebody in retirement, Jerry, thinking about the fixed income portion of their portfolio, do you like U.S. Treasuries here on the shorter end of the duration?
Yeah, the interest rates are high, right? So you're going after the yield. And again, I just don't think we have a high degree of risk of default. There's always a risk of default. That's the thing. Don't think of any investment as riskless. People have been sold the idea that treasuries are riskless. Nothing is riskless. One of the rating agencies recently, Fitch, downgraded, U.S. government bonds. If you wanted a higher rating bond, you could go for some of the higher rated corporate bonds. You know, I think Apple, for example, has a higher rating than the U.S. government. Yeah, you'd have to check that. But there are some of the corporations actually have higher ratings than the U.S. government. Now, they don't have the ability to print money, right. But they do have enormous cash reserves, and they have, a good credit system and, they're profitable. They're more fiscally disciplined as private companies. So, if that's a concern, then you can diversify by including extremely high quality corporate bonds along with treasury bonds. There's always municipals, but that kind of depends on your tax status. So again, that's, municipals are more for high income people. So you ask your advisor about that. And I would also look at TIPS or some other kind of inflation hedge, because I think his concern is a legitimate concern, which is the government's really going to have trouble paying the interest at these levels. But they will pay the interest. They're very likely to pay the interest because the consequences, not because I think they're good or virtuous, but because I think the consequences of defaulting are much less painful for them than the consequences of simply, increasing the inflation rate.
Yes, very good. Well, that's helpful, Jerry. Before we talk about, you mentioned Apple. We'll get to that here in just a moment with regard to the corporate engagement side. But while we're on the economy, Jerry, tell us just the latest on what's happening in China. Obviously, some real problems coming out of their real estate sector.
Yeah, so Evergrande is their gigantic kind of bad boy real estate, kind of high-risk real estate developer, and they did default. Country Garden is their sort of lower key, but almost as big. And they were late on a payment, but not so late as to technically be a default. So there's the time the payment was due and they didn't pay, in that time, but they paid before it was technically a default. And they're the conservative real estate developer. I don't mean conservative like politically conservative. This is all CCP, right? They're all part of the Communist Party. I mean conservative in terms of risk taking. We've had about 6 months of negative sentiment in the manufacturing sector in China. It's actually quite plausible that China is in a recession already and has been, might be a rather mild recession, but still a recession led by real estate. They created an enormous bubble. They created cities with nobody to live in the cities. Now, where are those people that would live in the cities? Well, the abortion clinics took them. So they have cities full of for people that don't exist because they decided they bought into the ideology that says that people are mouths, not minds, and we don't want too many of them. And we really need to limit ourselves to one, you know, one child per family because there were famines. But there weren't famines in China because China had too many people. There were famines in China because they had a socialist government, and socialist governments always have famines eventually. So instead of blaming their own socialist collectivist policies, they blamed people for wanting to eat. And they said we have too many of them, and they forced, you know, hundreds of millions of abortions. And that, they have an economy highly dependent on residential real estate. They have much higher home ownership rates, for instance, than we do. But a lot of people don't know that. So in order to kind of stimulate their economy, they have to, you know, have to build a lot of apartment buildings and also commercial property. But again, buildings for whom? Yes. For people that were never allowed to be born. And that demographic problem and their bad economics together created a bubble, which is bursting now. So I know there were a lot of people, there's been a lot of fear-mongering about the Chinese economy, about China passing the United States. I think that that's been a little overstated. I think China's problems are deeper than we understand. Their economic problems are deeper than we understand. I'm not saying that it's impossible that they will surpass us. You've seen the speech I've done on 2,000 years of economic history.
Yes.
You know, for 1,800 of those years, China was a bigger economy than the United States. So it certainly is not impossible that they pass us. But they never had a one-child policy before, and they never had the destructive impact of communism, you know, before the 20th century. So I think that China is maybe less of a threat to us economically than we think. There might be more of a threat militarily than we think, and less of a threat economically. A lot of the conversation has been, we can't possibly compete with China. I think we can compete with China. The question is, can China compete with us? And I think with a centralized economy and so many missing people, I'm really not sure that they can.
Jerry, obviously this is a topic we could spend a lot of time on and we don't have it, but what about Taiwan? I mean, is that the wild card if they were to take over Taiwan because of the semiconductors? I mean, could they actually require that, you know, we give them all of our IP in order to continue to get access? I mean, is that a real threat?
Yeah, that's a real threat. Another threat is that they sell our bonds out of sheer desperation to prop up their own currency if they have a real, genuine crisis, which they actually have been doing low-key. So that would be a threat to us. Not because they're a stronger economy than us, but because we have foolishly turned them into our banker. We have spent more than we've saved. Our government and our people. Well, if you do that, somebody has to lend to you. If our government is borrowing a lot and we, the people, are not saving, then who's lending to our government? Well, it has to be foreigners then. Yeah. And in this case, it's been foreign central banks, and historically, mostly China, now more recently, mostly Japan. But because China was our banker for so long, they have enormous amounts of dollar-denominated assets. That worries me. That's a genuine concern that they would dump those treasury bonds, and that would cause a decline in the dollar. Those dollars would come back home, and that they would be inflationary. So again, the inflation situation is more my worry than a default situation. And yes, if there's a geopolitical event, how could they not dump our treasuries? I mean, it's a weapon that they would almost certainly want to use. So I think that's genuinely a concern. I really think we need to. One of the things, you know, we're going to talk about in a moment is talking with corporations about how they're dealing with China.
Let's do that real quick, Jerry. I've got only about 45 seconds, so just give us a preview. Maybe we can pick it up next week.
Well, let's stick with the China theme and the companies. American companies have systemically underestimated the risk of being entangled with China. We now need to get these companies. I'm not saying boycott China entirely. That's a business decision. But prudence would suggest that they have been overly optimistic about what doing business would suggest. I'm not making a political statement here. I'm making a risk management statement.
Yeah, interesting, Jerry. Well, obviously, there's a lot more we can unpack on that one, and we'll do that perhaps next week. Always appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for your insights.
And you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. Kimberly, I was really trying to get to your call, and I apologize that I didn't. If you want to stay on the line, we'll see if we can get you up first on Monday. We appreciate your call today. Folks, really a privilege to be along with you each day on this broadcast, to encourage you, to bring you truth from God's Word, to help you navigate these interesting times we find ourselves in. I hope you found something today beneficial. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Jim, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.